Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. January 8, 2021. The most important game. A game seems like a frivolous topic. But if a game is the means to rise from the animate to the human level, then it turns out that it is the most important thing in our development, in human society. After all, we teach children through games, raise people from animals to be fit for society and the time in which they live, we teach them to have the right attitude to the world around them and to the people next to them. All this determines the degree of human. Therefore, the most important thing is to play, study, and adapt a person to the world. And all the more important is educating a person and bringing him in line with the upper world, which is also called a game. And we must treat it as the most serious occupation. If we correctly build our relation to the upper world, or rather, to the Creator, then we come close to Him. And along the way, we study Him, understand Him, enter into connection with Him, into mutual communication, until we merge with Him and reach full equivalence of form. Therefore, the word game seems frivolous, but in fact, it is the most serious occupation. All the changes we want to make in the world depend only on changing ourselves through the game. Nothing changes outside of us, but only in our perception. The world is my sensation. And the game is the means by which we can easily make internal changes so as not to lose our way and each time shift to a new, more and more advanced level of perception. It is possible that future states do not attract me very much because I must love those whom I now hate or am at least indifferent to. And I must treat myself differently than before, gain new qualities and thoughts, prefer some and reject others. To do this, I need exercises that I myself must assign and go through. That is, to play them. I must constantly establish what states I want to go through. That is, I must pull out my desires and thoughts, my egoism, into new states. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, we study how to build games through which we will grow. And the most important game is in the group. With the help of the game, we can shift from a comfortable state to such states that do not seem very pleasant to us, to bestow love, connection. These states will turn from unwanted to desirable, from repulsive to attractive, from hateful to beloved. All changes occur due to the fact that we imagine ourselves in new states, build systems, and gradually change, and turn into new people. What used to seem disgusting, bestowal, love, involvement, now seems the most attractive and good. What was hated and rejected becomes desirable, and we are ready to do anything to achieve a new state. The game is a transition from the current state to the desired or even not desired yet. The means to shift from state to state is called a game in which I must be an expert and improve my skills every time. And if I change myself with this game, then the whole world changes as a result of it. I start to change my priorities and evaluate everything differently according to my changes. Therefore, through such a game, I do not adjust myself to the world, but I change, correct, and improve the world. If we can play to change our states, then this is the most effective means to achieve the goal, and it is at the center of all our work. We grow up like children, as they grow up, their world changes. You cannot consider yourself an adult and not subject to change. On the contrary, if we are constantly changing, we will see how the world constantly changes. Therefore, we will always remain children, young and full of life, constantly changing and moving forward. Therefore, playing is the most important means to achieve the goal of creation, to bring oneself to the equivalence of form with the Creator, that is, to merge with Him. The game includes education, study, theoretical and practical exercises, and all kinds of connections. The main thing is to look for means to help us change, to constantly check whether my view of the environment, myself, and the purpose of creation has changed since yesterday. What exactly has changed in me in relation to my friends, the 10? So the game becomes very important for a person. Children play all the time. And then we grow up and stop playing. We dream of being adults, but this just means ceasing to develop. From a developmental point of view, we become dead. Therefore, we need to remain young in spirit, that is, to change all the time, play on a higher level relative to the present, and so to advance more and more. In everyday life, we try to buy children educational games that expand their horizons and stimulate growth. In the same way, in the spiritual work, we must always look for what we can grow by. And the main tool is the articles of the Kabbalists and their implementation in the Ten, where we evaluate our progress. The closer we get to each other, the closer we are to the Creator. We must set an example to each other in this game and awaken in order to ultimately unite so that all hearts merge in the center of the Ten, and we will reach our first spiritual degree. In the material world, playing is considered frivolous, but in the spiritual world, on the contrary, it is the most serious activity. It is by playing out the next state and striving to achieve it that we advance and grow. Our whole life is a game. After all, the Creator initially threw us out of his system, and we need to play to get back there and become Adam, that is, one man with one heart. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, January 3, 2021, The Game. See the world from end to end. The book of Zohar was written by people who had an inner attainment of the universe at the level of the highest world, the world of infinity. These were 10 great Kabbalists who managed to connect with each other. Each of them, in essence, represented a certain spiritual category, called Sephirah. Together, they formed the 10 Sephirot, meaning a single whole at the highest level, and therefore, were able to create through themselves a connection between the highest level of nature and its lowest level, our world. By creating a system of mutual connection, they gave us the opportunity to climb it from our low, primitive, vicious level to the highest. Along the way, we change ourselves so much that we become an integral part of the upper nature, eternal and perfect. Our body is no longer identified with us. We feel a completely different state in the soul. We begin to feel the forces that control us. We pass from matter to forces, and matter gradually disappears from our sensations. We do not attach any importance to it. It seems to move away from our perception. Comment: it's still scary to lose our material. My response: no. Conversely, our impressions become much clearer, brighter, more effective, and more powerful. In this, man becomes like the Creator. He begins to see from the end of the world to the end. His horizons are expanding. He sees the causes and consequences of everything that happens, understands the ultimate goal and can choose the right decision from any circumstances. This gives him the opportunity to act intelligently, rationally, which in our world absolutely doesn't exist. Here we stumble on mistakes every time, go and make the next mistakes, and the next ones, never correcting them. We don't even have the ability to correct ourselves. From Kab TV's The Power of the Book of Zohar number 2. Live in the understanding of the meaning of existence. Comment: if a person is present in the general system, then accordingly there should be relations between the parts of the system that are built in a certain way according to a correct algorithm. My response: the only correct algorithm regarding relations would be for each part of the system to exist only in order to support all the other parts, and for itself, it would only get as much as it needed to function correctly in this way. Question: how do the male and female parts of the system, literally husband and wife, relate to this? Answer: husband and wife should be focused on supporting each other as well as what is produced from their relationship. Question: how can a woman support her husband as effectively as possible? In what way should this support be carried out in relation to his development, in terms of his existence in the corporeal world, and perhaps in terms of a spiritual goal? Answer: I don't think there is much difference between men and women or husbands and wives. They must both live according to an understanding of the meaning of their existence. What end should they come to? What is the most important thing in their lives? They need to keep working on this. There are a lot of options here, but all of them should be aimed at achieving a common goal. From CapTV's Kabbalah Express, December 7, 2020. In the force field of thoughts. Question: if thought is the greatest force in creation, then the question arises, where does it come from? Is it born in my brain or does it come from somewhere outside? Answer: it comes from outside. All thoughts exist around us, and form a force field. We connect to it, and thus acquire this or that thought. Nothing exists for nothing. Nothing suddenly appears by itself. Question: does this have something to do with the system of souls? Answer: certainly. Everything is absolutely connected with each other on different levels. Therefore, the field of thoughts, the field of feelings, and the field of desires are connected with each other, and a person as if is floating in this. We all define each other's states. From CapTV's Ask a Kabbalist, December 31, 2018. How to save a marriage. Question: I recently watched your video where you say that you cannot get a divorce, only as the last resort when there are children involved. So what can I do when there are no feelings left for each other and the children see that? When there is only fighting and annoyance with each other. How can it be good for the children to grow up in such an atmosphere? I don't love him, do you understand? Don't hold me back. My response: I am holding you back. I would like to restrain both you and him. Because you are no longer children like your kids, you need to understand that it is still much better for you, for your children, for your family, and for society for you not to divorce, but simply to stop paying attention to certain feelings. Question: but how can they achieve peace, more or less? Answer: they should agree not to annoy each other. That's it. What else is there to do? Let your relationship involve a bit of politics, some agreement and reasoning, rising above yourselves. To say, I don't like things about him, he doesn't like things about me, is childish. Question: in general, it is possible to agree on areas to avoid? Answer: absolutely. If they already have children, then they are clearly mature people. If you have children, you have no right to divorce. For the sake of your children. The kids won't forgive you. They will carry it with them throughout their lives. Question: so, if she thinks about the children at this moment, and not about herself, about her annoyance? Answer: then she will not be annoyed. Question: what does it involve? Forgiveness of all his mistakes or what? How to make concessions here? Answer: to reduce each other's vulnerability. Your sensitivity to each other, claims against each other. Imagine that the other has a right to his behavior, to his life. And at the same time, you have a common life. And this common life, first of all, concerns your children, and not you personally. Don't be so selfish. Live for the sake of the children. This should not be a source of pain for your children. Question: is this the real responsibility? Answer: yes. Of course. Comment: people don't think that children are affected by this their whole lives. My response: no. This will have a big impact on the children. And the children will also get divorced because their parents did the same. Question: does it follow the chain? Answer: it does. Question: and it extends to the next generation? Answer: yes. And if they didn't see the parents divorce, then, despite the fact that there are very big differences between them and general fighting, children will still preserve their families. Question: so you also look at other generations? Answer: certainly. because what parents do serves as an example for children. From CapTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, November 23, 2020. Time for opening the hearts. Comment: people write to you, Michael Leitman, you make Kabbalah primitive when you want to reveal it to everyone. Kabbalah is for the elite, it is the inner part of the Torah. And you bring it out into the world. Don't do it. My response: I would agree with you, but the Kabbalistic books tell us something else, that the time will come, this was said thousands of years ago, when Kabbalah will be opened to everyone. It is said in the Torah, I will bring them to my holy mount, and I will cause them to rejoice in my house of prayer, their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be acceptable upon my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. So you are not entirely correct. Question: so these are precisely Kabbalistic sayings? Answer: of course. The statements of King David or the ancient Kabbalists or the Book of Zohar. Question: but this was said by Kabbalists. And to you, King David was also a Kabbalist? Answer: of course a Kabbalist. Comprehending the Creator, writing such things that reveal the upper world to us. Comment: but this letter is clearly written by a person for whom there was a ban for studying Kabbalah. My response: that is his business. Question: in principle, are you sure that time has come for the absolute, full disclosure of this science? Answer: Kabbalists said that too. Question: and the fact that you teach absolutely everyone? Answer: it is also said about this, know the Lord, for they shall all know me from their smallest to their greatest. Question: do you think that the time is now? Answer: and they said that too. I don't say anything on my own, they all say this. Question: are you sure that now is the time of the last generation? Or maybe it is a mistake? Answer: if they said so, I abide by it. Question: and they say that this time is right now? Answer: yes. I was a disciple of the last great Kabbalist Rabash, and what I received from him, I carry on. Question: Rabash had this confidence that doors would open? Answer: undoubtedly. Comment: still, Rabash had a small group. My response: he could not afford more. And I don't feel limited by anything. Times are different now. Comment: yes. But you have provoked a lot of criticism upon yourself. My response: it doesn't matter. It will still all work. Question: why exactly is today the time for disclosure? Answer: because the world is becoming global, integral, interconnected. And it needs the right attitude of people to people. And this is exactly what Kabbalah is talking about, how to do it, how to come to goodness and mutual love. Question: is this a secret in a science? Answer: there is nothing secret. What we have not revealed is called a mystery. Therefore, science is called a mystery because it creates reality out of any mysteries. Question: and when it says that this is the inner part of the Torah, what does it mean? Answer: that there is that Torah which is impossible to read with just A's, you also need to open your heart. Question: so the time for the opening of the heart is coming now? Answer: yes. Opening your eyes is not enough. We are approaching such a state that the world needs the opening of hearts. From CapTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, November 23, 2020. Why do Kabbalists rejoice in descents? Question: in Kabbalah there are states such as descents and ascents. They say that Kabbalists rejoice in the descents. Why? Answer: as a result of experience, practice, and Kabbalistic experience, the Kabbalist begins to understand that his descents precede the next great ascent. Therefore, he rejoices in the fall as well as in the ascent. He understands that it is impossible without this. After all, the fall is simply the opening of a greater desire into which he will then receive fulfillment. Question: Even in Kabbalah, there is a concept that the work itself should cause joy, and this is a test. Does a person experience joy not from the future state, not from the benefits that he will receive from something, but from the work itself? Answer: Yes. Where I am, I must try to live not in the future, but in the present. If now I am also attached to the Creator, to my companions, and fulfill my task of realizing the goal of creation, then I am still in a beautiful state and do not want anything more. If I feel that I am in an absolutely good condition at every moment, then I am really on the right path. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, April 3, 2019. The difference between awe and fear. Question: What is the difference between awe and fear? Answer: Awe is caution, distance, the feeling of something unclear, maybe not very conscious, threatening something, somehow, but not yet defined. It's like twilight states. Such anxiety happens to many, and sometimes it is difficult to say for what reason, why, and for what. Fear, however, is already an absolutely clear, concrete feeling in a person: what I am afraid of, why, in what circumstances I can experience it, how I can avoid it, and so on. Question: Does awe mainly relate to spiritual states? Answer: This can be attributed to both spiritual and people's ordinary states. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, April 3, 2019. In dialogue with a higher power. Question: What can you compare the feeling of the Creator with? With what conditions in our world? With what feelings? Answer: Everything that we feel now, the universe, stars, our planet, humanity, etc., is in the power of some kind of force that permeates the entire universe and controls it. Everything comes from this power and everything returns to it. A person, as it were, enters into a dialogue with a higher power. He affects it, it affects him back through the whole world. He feels it with all his senses and in response gives a reaction or acts in a certain selective way on this force through the surrounding nature. It is about comprehending the hidden power of nature with which a person enters into a dialogue. As a result, he develops, comprehends the higher power, becomes equal to it in knowledge, understanding, impact, in changing himself, his life. This is the goal of his development. Question: With what can this be compared in our world? Answer: In part, this can be compared with science because we develop sciences about our world, which help us to better know it and manage it. By this we try to improve our life somehow, although we do not quite succeed since we use science egotistically. This is the big difference between our world and the upper world. We cannot egoistically use the upper forces, properties, and everything that we reveal. The upper world can be comprehended only to the extent that we will be altruists, that we will begin to think about the common good, but not at all about us, personally. It is this altruistic approach that is called the spiritual approach. It is characteristic of many of man's aspirations to reveal nature, but in Kabbalah it is obligatory. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, November 12, 2018.